If we look across all the healing miracles that Jesus performed, we'll notice some oddities and some strange things that are worth paying attention to. One of them is, no two of the healing miracles are the same. They're all different in their own way. So although he healed many lepers, with one he touched him and he was clean. With one, or group, he said, go show yourself to the priest, and they were clean. With healings, sometimes he spoke to the person, sometimes he touched him. Once, he spit on the ground, made a salve out of the dirt, put it in his eyes, put his hand on his eyes and groaned. That was the most descriptive of them. And then in some cases, he doesn't actually do anything. Like the woman with hemorrhages. She goes up and touches his cloak, and that's what healed her. So in all these different healing events, we notice how strange they are. No two are alike. Everyone is unique in its own way. We also notice something else about all the healing narratives. Jesus didn't heal everyone. That's almost scandalous for us to think here he is in the land of Galilee and there are lots of people whom he did not choose to heal. There's probably about 1 million people in all of the region of Israel at the moment, and he healed maybe between 3,000 and 5,000 is my guess, because we have like crowds of them. But in that way, there's even times in which they make the point that he couldn't cure anyone. Like when he went back to Nazareth, and there he is in the midst of all the crowd, and he realized that he couldn't heal anyone, so he cured a few people and then moved on. And even here in our reading from today, he, after curing a bunch of people, went off to pray, and instead of going back to continue that, he moved on, saying that is not his purpose. His purpose was not to cure everyone. Which leads us to wonder, what was it? Why those people, not others? The answer is twofold and also very simple. Because they had the faith. They had the faith to be healed. And that was a critical point that so many of the healing narratives make. That if they believed they could be healed, Jesus could heal them. And the ones who couldn't, or were doubtful, were not the ones who were healed. There's something critically important about faith and believing what Jesus could do that allowed them to believe and to be healed. And that was a critical part of the whole event of someone being healed. Now for us, however, we have a more interesting situation. Do we believe that Jesus can heal? I would largely argue we don't. We believe on a head level, oh yeah, Jesus can heal people. If he wanted to, it could be done. I understand that, but do I really believe? Do I believe to the core of my heart that if I prayed, if I asked for it, that I would be healed? And the challenge we have is that we see so few miracles of healing that we automatically believe that it's like this rare event, or that Jesus doesn't intend to heal most people, just a few, kind of like from the Gospels. Or we believe that it's not me. It's only when it's really critically important and there's no other opportunity, then God will heal. But what ends up happening is we end up putting our faith in the doctors. What do? First thing we get sick, we go to the doctor. And he or she evaluates what's going on, and we believe that through medicine or through surgeries or through whatever happens, we will be cured through that. We often don't pray as the first starting point. We immediately go to the doctor, which means our faith is in the doctor. Secondarily, instead of praying, we become like Job. Oh no, woe is me, I'm sick, all the problems of the world are now on me, how bad it is of the things I have. We complain and we grumble, because it's not fun being sick, I'll be very blunt. It's rather trying. But that's because we believe in the doctors and we see our situation as dire. Where should we be? Where were the people of the gospel? They're people full of hope, even in the midst of their suffering. They had a sense that there was something that's going to help them. That's the same thing we need to be. Whenever we get sick, if we really believe that Jesus can heal us, in that moment when we realize that something's happening, our first reaction should be to pray. Pray for healing. Pray in that hopeful sense of healing. May God heal me today. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But it's up to him. That's a moment of faith. A moment of expectation. But we also don't know how he's going to heal. That's the big challenge for us too. We may pray for healing and he say, oh, I know you're sick, but I'm going to give you mental healing. You have some other issues to work on that you don't know about, and so I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to give you patience. I'm going to teach you to endure. I'm going to teach you fortitude in the midst of your suffering. Or maybe a spiritual healing. Here I'm going to teach you about myself. I'm going to teach you that it's okay, that I'm here with you. I'm going to give you a sense of faith that you never had before because you turned to me. This is the big challenge we have in healing. We like to think of it in very narrow bands. I'm going to be healed from this physical infirmity. We actually need lots of healing, so that's not the only thing we tend to need. And then God will figure that out and go the route he sees best for us. And maybe he will work through doctors. He can. He gave them the intellect and the wisdom and made the things of the world work so that we can be healed. We don't know. But we need to seek his healing. And that's the big challenge for us. We have to believe that he actually does heal us. We have to strive for it, seek after it. And the beautiful thing is, the church has given us two sacraments that focus on this healing, that bring God into our lives, that help us to see and to realize his healing power. One of them is very often not used, and that's the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, which is very sad. It's a beautiful sacrament. Its whole point is to anoint the person with oil, and oil being like a healing salve, covers the body, smooths over all the wounds, all that kind of stuff carried over from the time of Jesus, where they would put oil over wounds and that would heal them. That's the sign of the sacrament, oil. But in addition to that, the prayers bring up a very different point. The prayers show us that what we're looking for is not necessarily healing from that specific illness, but healing in general. The prayers ask for healing of mind, body, and soul, that we may see whatever God may do, bring peace, bring courage, bring tranquility, maybe bring hope to the situation. Maybe instead it makes the mind at peace, or the soul is healed from sins. Whatever it may be, that sacrament brings all that level of healing. So that as we pray for the person, as they are anointed, as they are forgiven, they have a sense of hope, a sense that God is with them in whatever illness or whatever situations may come from it. This is the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. But we actually have two other sacraments that focus on healing. We forget that the Eucharist is also about healing. Whenever we receive communion, we are being slowly healed and conformed to the life of Christ, that we may become like him. The other sacrament of healing that we like to avoid at all costs is the sacrament of reconciliation, penance, confession, whatever you wish to call it. This is a beautiful sacrament of healing in that we realize the spiritual ills in our life, something that we tend to forget. We tend to not realize how much the spiritual ills affect us, that through sinful behaviors or through addictive behaviors or through issues on a spiritual level, they can also manifest themselves in physical ways. They can manifest themselves in the way we interact with people. They can manifest themselves in the body through their own sets of illnesses. And through this very powerful sacrament, when we're willing to be real with ourselves and bring up, dredge up all that evil in our lives and let it go, let God bring healing into those places, we can also be physically healed, if not emotionally healed, from all that's happened. So that this sacrament takes on a totally different character. It reminds us that the mind, body, and soul are all one and connected, and that by confessing our sins, by realizing the problems of our lives, we can get quite a bit of healing. But as I see from so many people, the reason why we are so off-put by that sacrament is we don't feel the healing we thought we ought to. We come away thinking, oh, that didn't work, or oh, I don't think I was forgiven enough, or oh, what do I do now? It's not quite what I expected. Well, how do we come away from the doctor? Probably as bad as we were going in, because most of the time we have a healing process that comes with it. Same thing works there. We have to believe that Jesus can heal. We have to believe that our sins can be forgiven. We have to believe that God is here with us, and he does more than we can imagine. Which leads us to that most important element of hope. Hope is the core of healing. The realization that sometimes I have to endure this, and that through endurance I learn more, like Job's situation. He endured through his times of trial, so that through the midst of that, he'd finally realize who God was by the end of his trials. He'd come to see him face to face. The same thing works for us. As we deal with the ills and problems of the world, we have to believe. Believe that Jesus can heal. Turn to him first and foremost, and let him work his miracles in our lives. Come to see them, come to believe them, that we too may be healed, which is our ultimate goal. Jesus did come to heal us. He came to bring us peace. He came to bring us reconciliation. If we don't believe, we are stuck. But if we believe, miracles can happen.